Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for life and the opportunity to love and serve you and our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, that prayer reflects the first and the second great commandment, which are written in Matthew 22, 37, and in Mark 12, 30. They are about love God and love your neighbor. Compassion and emotion are a part of life, and so are the plain and ordinary parts of life. And money is also a part of life, don't we know? Isn't it just funny how we go through life and we think, if I had $1 million, I would do this or that? Well, I kind of think each one of us in our lifetime does earn $1 million or more. And that is for all of us, even if we are on government assistance, that much value in benefits gets spent on each one of our lives. Whatever our position, $1 million. So consider that when you say, if I had $1 million, I would do this or do that. It's just that you don't have $1 million at one time. But over your life, it's pretty sure you do. It is just amazing how much of our income gets spent on feeding ourselves. I know, it's just a human thing to do, but I think we are far more satisfied when we examine our life and have an intentional lifestyle and do what makes sense to us in our intellect and our emotion, of course. We, intellect and emotion are a part of our complete being, and so is our spiritual aspect. Well, I don't mean to tell you how to live. I only mean for you to examine your own life and then live according to the values which you hold. And I do hope that they reflect God's values. Right now, we are on the last days of the National Preparedness Month. And if you are like a vast majority of people everywhere, you have done nothing different in this month than you did in the months before, even though it is National Preparedness Month. Well, it's just so human that we only do what we have to do. That's just the way we are. Yeah. And it seems we don't take any real preventative measures because we don't have the sense that a calamity is upon us. And when we do discover that a calamity is upon us, then there are not enough foods nor enough supplies to give us the comfort and what we see that we need. And so what happens? What happens? It's always different. Do we starve to death? Well, some people could. And it really isn't true in most cases. But historically, that is the consequence of not having your own food supply. That means you starve, literally. That's the pattern in every part of the world. Well, it can be. But the modern parts of the world, we have supplies to help us out, so we don't have to be concerned for the future. So we can look at history, and we can see that in the last 20 years, even in the last 100 years, and certainly in the last 1,000 years, men have caused other men to die from starvation. That's just a fact of history. Rome did it, Genghis Khan did it, and in the last 100 years, the communist governments of China, Russia, Cambodia, and Laos, they all did it. Other countries as well, African countries, quite a few. Well, in the last 20 years, we have had conditions. They have prevailed, and they have caused people to starve in lots of countries. And that is because people were denied their basic needs for life. In some cases, it was because they held the wrong political views, or maybe they held the wrong religious views. and basic human needs were withheld from them on purpose. Food resources and all sorts of things have been used to destroy the enemy of who you of who that entity had, whether it was a government or a person. And of course, aren't we all powerless to prevent it? Oh, of course not. We all have something to say, but we have to take that action. We have to do something. If we do nothing, we do nothing, and we have done nothing. But if we have done something, then we have something to protect ourselves and to be prepared with. So I think of that on this National Preparedness Month, because I think preparation is a good idea. And by the way, I am going to be addressing the personal preparedness aspect at a free public event in the Paradise Performing Arts Center on Saturday, October 20th, 2018, from 6 to 8 p.m., and the doors will open at 5:30. We can expect a good crowd, and the room holds 700 people, so please come along and get some of the free things that there are going to be. Again, at the Paradise Performing Arts Center at 777 Nunley Road, Paradise, Saturday, October 20th. Come at 5:30 for the 6 to 8 event. Ask questions in advance if you can, or ask questions there at the time. And I hope you do. Write me or email me with a couple of questions. So, preparing for our future is always a good idea. We each prepare in a different way because we're all different. We have different thoughts, different concerns, different experiences in life. But as a community, we can cover lots of areas of concern because we each think a little bit different. And we can identify with one group or another. It might be we're an American, or we're a Californian, or we might identify with our city, or our church, or our neighborhood, or our family. The big idea here is that we are caring about someone else. And this is an American ideal, which comes out of our Christian heritage. Yes, our Christian heritage that is discounted these days, but our nation's history is all full of Christian heritage. And I know there's some book writers and some professors who will tell you differently, but that seems to be the way the world is going. Two different opinions. One is an opinion, and one is factual. Well, I suggest each one of us looks to see what the evidence is, instead of just listening to people who have their own ideas and then collect the information which supports their preconceived idea. Too often, people lack independent analysis of historical information. And then we, in effect, become, well, let's call them servants. We become servants to whoever tells us their version of what the truth is. We can only guess where that will lead, but probably it will not be where we want to go to listen to somebody else and believe them about so many important things. And even if we don't know where things will go, we can each look at what the possibilities are. And then we can decide how to act on those possibilities that are before us. Now, with what I have seen in the world, and with what I have read in history, and with what the conditions are around us in our nation and in our world, I see the possibilities for both, good things and bad things to happen, and in our near future as well. And it's just such a human condition that when good happens, we take it in stride, and we continue right on down the path we're walking. But in these days, we can recognize that our future may have some pretty bad things in it also. And when I look at how bad it could be, I think it only makes sense to have some preparations on hand. I know I do. Myself, I have some food I can share, but I do not have enough to sustain you and your loved ones. No one has that much food or supplies. It's up to you to provide for yourself and your loved ones. The grocery stores, well, not be of much help because they only have a few days of food in them, like 3 or 4 days of food in each grocery store. And besides, do you really want to rely on what people have left, the food they didn't choose first? You know, like cans of lima beans and maybe asparagus or something. You know, when we have choices, we get the best that we know how. And we want to have those choices. But I say get some supplies for just in case we don't have the choices we have today. There's not a lot of people who can help you if we are in such a dire condition. It's pretty sure your church won't be able to help you. Maybe not. Oh, church? Well, you know, there are churches that do store up food. And pretty much the church itself does not have food, but its members do. If they are devoted members, they could have 6 months of food on hand. And of course, that's not just the yummy food that you would like to eat. It's the basic food that will sustain your life and last through the heat. So most churches in general do not have food. And the farmers in general, they don't have food. Mostly the grain silos that you see are all empty. Our state government, our federal government, they don't have any food for us. Really, they don't have any food for them either. The Red Cross helps a lot of people, but they don't have any food. They expect to buy it if they have a need, and they do. That's how they operate. No one has any food supplies to speak of. Everyone is depending on the system to work perfectly. It's a just-in-time system where we depend on transportation and people or computers to not get confused and mixed up as to what is needed to supply your daily needs. That's the system we have. So we each get to decide if that is what we want to depend on, that just-in-time system. It is a pattern of supply to maintain our food and to keep us alive and healthy. It's a matter of choice to see, do we want to take responsibility to maintain our physical life? If we do, we want to have some supplies on hand. And, of course, it's your choice. You get to choose about your physical life, not to mention your eternal life. That is also your choice. We all have decisions and make decisions, and we get the consequences of our decisions. That is just a fact of life. So while we would love to blame someone else for our unfortunate situation, for our unfortunate decisions, well, it's really our own responsibility. We'd love to blame someone else, like our parents, or our schooling, or our government, or our doctor, our pastor, our priest, our friends. You know, we just like to blame somebody else for the problems we have. But really, we need to take the responsibility and think. Figure out what to do and when to do it. Well, you'd better know that it is your responsibility to take care of you. It's a hard lesson in life to learn, because we've learned to depend on people all our lives. But in the hard situations, people inevitably let us down. They choose their own position instead of helping you, and who can blame them? So that's just a fact of life. In historical historical times, people have also made all sorts of decisions. Some of them were good decisions. Some of them were not so good. And when people made bad decisions, they pretty much died early. And you can only guess if that would happen again. It is a pattern. So, all I know is we want to make the best decisions we possibly can, both physically and spiritually. That's what I want, and I think you want that too. The decisions we make are based on the information we have available to us. And after that, we use our experience to discern the validity of the information, whether it's true or untrue information. And these days, we are getting so much conflicting information that it's really kind of difficult to tell what is truth and what is untrue, or even just irrelevant information. So, we get confronted with people who present information better and better to convince us of something that is not really true. And then we get better and better also at discerning the truth from a lie, or let's call it even irrelevant information. So we all get better and better at mixing and unmixing the truth from the lies. So if we have really big conflicts of having to discern things, it seems like our brain temporarily pauses as we try to sort out this conflicting information. Usually, this conflict, this pause, does not take very long, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes months and years to sort out information that is conflicting. Now, some conflicts are very deep and very important, and our brain just freezes for years. Now, I know that my brain took a few years to unfreeze after the 9/11 event, because I realized that if the 9/11 event was really intentional, it was a hard thing to consider. And I realized that if those who were they, could lie and murder on that scale, then they really were more evil and more capable of evil than I could have ever imagined. And we know that there's been patterns of this for a while. It's just that we have such a hard time with addressing it that we don't want to look at it. Now, this group is not the government. It is not the government. But they do use the power and authority of the government, and so these people will get in a position of power and authority. And then we get to figure it out, make a correct assessment of the situation. How do we discern it? Well, I think part of it is we go back to basics and we recognize what our emotions say. And then we examine it from the intellectual point of view and we try to make discernment. Have discernment for what has gone on. As we examine the power structure and the authority of our government and of groups, all sorts of groups. These secret groups, they do try to conceal who they are and what their true purpose is. And we can see that if we look at the indicators, not what is actually said, but the indicators which their actions demonstrate that they believe. There are national groups and there are international groups who try to promote their cause, which I think you could call it a globalist point of view. They believe in a one powerful entity, and that simply for us to recognize and to do what we can to survive the situations that may confront us. Now, we can look and see in history that certain events could not have occurred by accident. Of course, we can see that accidents are possible and that they could have been by accident. But the timing of things, the importance of certain events, will lead us to believe that those important events and situations could not have been accidental, that they must have been done by reason and purpose. And that's the battle going on today. We are in the midst of a battle between good and bad, between God and Satan. This is all over the world, and we get caught in the subtle deceptions, in the sleight of hand movements that occur, where we didn't see something, and suddenly, we wish we had seen it. We get promises to deliver something we want, or we think we want, but it never gets delivered, or the delivery is something that we really never wanted all along. These systems promise a treat, but they deliver a trick. So, that's what you see when you read books, when you listen to people tell about their experiences, and it has to do with that dark and evil power. And that's, I think, why we want to choose the goodness of life, the goodness of God, the power of God. That's what we want. So we do listen. We listen to people, and we hear about the things that God has done in their lives. Or we listen to other people, and we hear what evil has done in their life. It's something we can listen to and learn from. So those are the real experiences are about. But we also know that there are prophetic people around, and they have experiences with God too. They're the men of God who see the good and the evil. The people who have had prophetic insights are very numerous. And we pretty much only hear about the well-known people, like Dimitri Dudeman or Henrik Gruver or David Wilkerson. So I think that their theme is kind of important to recognize that they talk about the coming destructions in different ways. I leave it to you to look and see the specific messages. But the theme is forward, that significant things are going to happen in our world. And I do like what David Wilkerson reminded us on one of those presentations, was that, but do not worry. God has it all under control. Oh, that was a good thing to hear. Do not worry. God has it all under control. Yeah. So what do? We Christians are often compared to sheep, and we need a shepherd, and that is Jesus the Christ. So what do we want to do? We want to listen and obey the voice of Jesus. By doing this, we know that we will be kept from some of the great troubles that are out there, including the eternal hell. So that's what our goal or orientation is as a Christian, a Christ follower. We know that we have various difficulties here on earth, and they can be natural causes like hurricanes and earthquakes and sometimes famine is natural and sometimes it's man-caused. War is man-caused. electrical outages and cyber interruptions can be man-caused. Pestilence can be either. So we have things on the horizon. We don't know exactly what, but we know that we will want to have protections and preparations. So it can always be worse, too. There can be persecution, unjust persecution of us. And I suppose what we do is we look forward to life, eternal life in heaven. That can be our goal. And on earth to stand faithful to Jesus Christ. That will get us through a lot of the difficulties in life as we use our rationality, our understanding, and our discernment to avoid troubles, which there are in life. I often have thought, why do we have to have troubles? Why are there trials and difficulties? And I think a part of it is so that we can appreciate the goodness on earth and the goodness of God's blessings. And I've also thought, why do we have to have battles? Why in life do we have to battle? And I have supposed that it is so that we can experience a righteous victory. If there's no battle, there's no victory. So, it's all very interesting. Lots of questions. Yeah. And in the midst of these difficulties, we want to stand up for goodness and righteousness. And that is, in a word, it's godliness. And I always like to say prayer is an important part of this also. So in a way, we are tested that we will do the right thing even when the circumstances are difficult. We will always be concerned at protecting the innocent or the women and children or to help those who need a hand. We do go through life, and it is sort of a test to see if we will have compassion or to see if we will help others. And I think when we help, we must use wisdom so that we use our resources wisely, that we give what we have wisely. It is a challenge, but probably we can do the best job that there is in managing it because we are the ones who collected those resources. So I believe that's a part of what we have to do, to use our resources wisely, and that is from water and food, to money and time, to all the things that we have strength in. So that's just a historical lesson. And speaking of history, do you remember the Pilgrims? They came to America in 1620. That was just about 400 years ago. They landed at Cape Cod in England on November something in 1620. That voyage across the Atlantic took 2 months, and there were only a few accounts by the sailors on the ship. There were several accounts written by Christians, but not so many of the non-Christians. And I can remember one account, even though I can't remember the name of the sailor. And he kept a journal of that voyage, and one of the things he wrote impressed me. He talked about the many people that died coming on that trip, coming to the New World. He wrote about how the Pilgrims died like saints. But when a crew member died, they died like dogs. Now, those are his words, and I thought it was so interesting. I read that account long ago before I was a Christian, but it made an impression on me. Because to have that peace and security of being a Christ follower compared to someone who was not was just amazing to me. So now I understand the position and why it is true. It's just interesting how life goes. we have a beautiful, beautiful afterlife to look forward to it. So, yeah, how can I not smile at that prospect? Anyway, let me go back to one area which has gotten more and more challenging to talk about, and that is, what is the basis of people's belief? Because people form beliefs, even without logic, they form their beliefs, and then they seek information which supports what they believe. That is so true all across society. People, you never know who they believe. They might believe a teacher, they might believe a book or a movie, they might believe you, they might believe Google, they might believe the gospel, who knows? But mostly, the young people just don't trust any of the sources of information that we used to. So many of the young want proof. And I don't know how you even get that proof. How do you show proof? If there was a video, that would be great. But even videos can be remade into an absolute lie. So how do you demonstrate anything that is true? Do you do it by words? Do you do it by a book or a video? Does the Bible express truth? It takes a little work to figure this out. And it seems there are lots of people who want to believe, but what they end up putting their faith in is an experience. Usually it's an emotional experience. Often enough, it's a powerful emotional experience. So I think we have to use a lot of caution, though, about how we discern truth, especially if it is based in an emotional experience. Oh, we have to remember intellect and doctrine. And those are a solid foundation for what our belief system develops into. There's so many people who say they want to know the truth, but really what they seem to do is want to understand their version of what they understand is true. They won't change their mind even if they're faced with certain knowledge or certain reasoning. And very often this is a condition that is experienced in the world today. I'm really not sure how we overcome it, except I know that prayer makes a huge difference. So that's what I'll say. Prayer makes a big, big difference. I want to talk a little more about preparedness on today's broadcast. I got a little off track in the last few minutes, but maybe it applies also. Anyway, people realize that there is a concern in our world, and that it's a practical idea to have preparations of one sort or another. This recognition is growing all across society. And more people are recognizing that there is a concern, and then we want that concern to lead to an action that gets them some items of preparedness. And like I said, we each have our different orientation and ideas to what kind of preparations we should have. Because there could be hunger, there could be shortages, and there even could be violence over the remaining supplies. So I know that I have seen surprises all over the place, all over the world. And it's good to have preparations. And the question is, preparations for what? And the answer is all an individual answer, because we know the problems that we see and understand. We see the problems that we could face. And sure, if we look at the Bible, we can say that right before the end of the age, We will see famine, earthquakes, war, and pestilence. So yes, just look around. We see the possibility of war. War. War here and war there. Certainly in the Middle East, we have things just ready to explode, really. But that doesn't mean it'll turn into war. And yet, it is a very real possibility. We have famine and hunger. That already exists in many parts of the world. We have pestilence. And maybe you've heard the warnings from the CDC or the World Health Organization over the last few years that we could expect some big epidemic somewhere. And then there are the earthquakes. Now, the earthquakes have made a big impression on me in my life. I think back to the 1964 Alaska earthquake that I saw. Well, I saw it right afterwards. And I remember that roughly 10-foot wall of shared earth, which raised and or lowered. And it was just so impressive on the streets of Anchorage. It really made a big impression on me. And of course, I saw the damaged and destroyed buildings. That was big also. So for some reason, in my life, earthquakes have made a big impression on me. And then I was in the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. I was in the Bay Area and experienced that earthquake completely. I saw what survived, and I saw what was destroyed. Including the collapse of freeways and buildings. It was a big, big event. I remember my brother-in-law was in one car ahead of the section of the Bay Bridge that collapsed. And it just, things happened all over the Bay Area, and you just couldn't quite believe the destruction that it caused, and the days of the outage of electricity, and the days of supplies that were food and supplies which were not available, and how the stores couldn't sell anything anyway because there was no electricity to run their cash registers and then control their inventory. It was just so very, it was a big experience. And then, not so long after that, in 2004, there was the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami. And that is so hard to believe because it took the lives of 280,000 people. 280,000 people perished in that earthquake and tsunami. I saw it on TV, and it was wow. Of course, also on TV, I saw the 2011 Tohoku earthquake and tsunami. We know that as the Fukushima earthquake and tsunami. Well, it killed a lot of people, 15,000, but the amount of destruction that it caused was huge. Oh, water from that tidal wave destroyed much, and the radiation from the Fukushima electrical generation plant, the radioactivity polluted very much. So, it's just huge. There have been huge events with earthquakes in the last, years, decades. And yet we have the threat of earthquakes still. There are experts warning us that we have two earthquake zones that are ready to go anytime. They were the Hayward Fault and the southern end of the San Andreas Fault. So those are just possibles. But I like to look at the two really huge, gigantic earthquake faults that could confront our lives. And one is right near us. It's the Cascadia Subduction Zone. Huge. That is where the Juan de Fuca plate and the continental plates collide right off the coast of Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, Canada. This earthquake could be huge, just huge. The Loma Prieta earthquake lasted about 15 seconds of shaking. And I remember that 15 seconds, that was a long time to go through the earth shaking the way it did. 15 seconds was long. There have been other earthquakes that have lasted a minute. That's a long time. But this Cascadia subduction zone could cause an earthquake that would last 4 to 5 minutes. 4 to 5 minutes from Northern California, Oregon, Washington to Canada. That is just too hard for me to believe. I cannot grasp it. And I can only imagine what the death toll from a future Cascadia earthquake could be. It's beyond what I can imagine. But one way or another, earthquakes of this magnitude will affect us, even if we're not in its direct path. Here, in this area, that earthquake could cause tremendous damage. It could break dams, even. It could cause our electrical to stop for weeks, easily. Oh, it's just hard to believe the extent of the damage that could be caused by a Cascadia earthquake. And it's not just the water that would flood in a tsunami. It's just huge. And they say they don't know when it will happen, that it could happen any time, but probably we have a little more time. Well, it's just, that's a big concern for me. There's also the New Madrid fault area. Now, in 1811, there was the New Madrid fault had a huge earthquake on it. It was around St. Louis, Missouri, but the church bells rang in Boston. So you see how here we're talking about something 100 miles away or more, hundreds of miles away, and still it could affect us. And that's the lesson here. Don't think that we will not be affected because we are not on the earthquake fault line. For one, there could be sympathetic fault lines develop, and for another, the shaking could still really affect us. Earthquakes are a big, big issue, and I think it's good to pay attention to what could happen. So that's one of the things that I look at personally, that just because of my life experience has been something I pay attention to. Another thing I pay attention to is money or currency. The difference between money and currency is that money all by itself has a value, like a silver coin. That has value, so it is money. Currency is a piece of paper, which has no intrinsic value by itself. Its value is only the promise that it has to pay. That's the difference between currency and money. Our Federal Reserve notes, which we can say are dollar bills, they have no value by themselves. They are currency. Because the Federal Reserve keeps printing more and more dollars, either by computer or actual printing, our money is being inflated. And to put it another way, our money has less and less value with each passing year. So much so that over the last 10 or 20 years, there are quite a few items, and that includes construction projects, which have doubled from what they used to cost 10 or 20 years ago. That's inflation, and it is caused by the excess creation of currency. So that's a concern, and another part of that same concern is our national debt. Every year, the United States government has been spending more money than it takes in, and that accumulates to become our national debt, which is now over $21 trillion. $21 trillion. Remember million, billion, trillion? A million seconds is 12 days, a billion seconds is 32 years, and a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. It's gigantic, those numbers. And I've heard people say that it's okay because China is buying our debt. But that's not true. China does own $1.7 trillion of our $21 trillion debt. That is about 8% of our national debt. And by the way, Russia has sold all the United States debt that they used to hold. They used to have treasury bills that were held. So now what has Russia done? They've been buying gold every month in 2018. China is also buying up gold from the international market. So the United States is said to own 7,000 tons of gold. And that sure sounds like a lot, but as a comparison, I want to tell you that our national debt is about 60 times that amount. It's 60 times more the value of the gold that we have at Fort Knox, we think we have at Fort Knox, than our national debt is. So, hey, we might have an economic situation that is a really big concern. It could become gigantic trouble. In my opinion, a crash could easily come along and the economy could fall apart. Because we have so much debt in this country, personal debt, business debt, government debt, it's a pretty good argument that the conditions today are very close to the conditions that existed in 1929, just before the stock market crash and the Great Depression of the 1930s. So, it's just something to be aware of. I cannot predict the future. There's reason to say that we will have many positive things in our economy, and that might be five more good years, or maybe a little more. But we also see reason that our economy would get hit with some kind of a setback or crash. So we don't know if we have 5 weeks or 5 years of good economy coming. I can see it either way, and I just see it's important to be prepared for either one to happen. So what would you do if there was if the boom continued? And what would you do if there was a crash? Oh, well, some people say stocks is the answer to a boom, and precious metals like silver and gold are the answer to a crash. Well, they have their points, and it's an intense study which we have to bear our own personal responsibility for conducting. Sure, we always have our immediate concerns, and that includes our spiritual concerns, our human concerns, and our basic water and food and warmth concerns. A lot of people are concerned with light and communication too, because they see that this could go anyway, and we just do not know what could possibly happen. Anything could happen, that's my view of it. So you get to look at the situation and judge for yourself. Potential emergency situations could happen, and that would change everything. It would have impact in every way. But you have to discern the areas which are a concern to you, and then you get to figure out what those things are that would give you concerns. There's lots of answers, not just one answer. You get to figure it out. That's just the way it is. There are battles that could affect us greatly. certainly the spiritual, but also the financial and also the political. There's all sorts of things that could affect our lives. And I do wonder about the financial interests, if they are going to see that they're going to, if the globalists are concerned that they are going to lose the United States, will they then decide, oh, we're just going to crash you guys, you won't take us, so we are going to let you go. And crash. That's a possibility. There's lots of possibilities. We don't know what the real answers are. But we can see that there's some things we can do. There's a lot of rich people that are elite, and they have their own ideas on what to do, and they are getting prepared for hard times, crash coming. There's over 500 billionaires in the United States and over 500 billionaires in China. Billionaires! That's 1,000 million dollar bills. They are the elite, and they have a pretty good idea about what's coming. And what are they doing? They are getting prepared for some really big difficulties. And I think it's just a good thing to use their example and see what it is that we might want to be doing for our ordinary preparedness. Because that's what we are. We're ordinary people. We're not the elite. We can't buy a $2 million bunker and supply it. No, that's not us. But there is something we can do. And that's what I want to encourage you to do something. Now, I'm going to be talking about ordinary preparedness on Saturday, October 20th, 2018. Saturday, October 20th at the Paradise Performing Arts Center. Paradise Performing Arts Center, and I hope you will come by and say hello. You can have questions for me. They can be given to me by email or letter or at the time. I would love to be there to answer your questions the way I see it. And I'm quite excited about the event and answering questions, making a presentation. So you just might want to have some questions. And if you do, yes, please email me. I will answer questions that are asked respectfully and that are honest questions. They're probably something somebody has wondered about. So please give me your questions, even if you think the answer is obvious. I won't attach your name to the question or anything like that. It's just for me to have a direction as I answer the questions. So all these things we wonder about, and we need a little help often enough to figure out what the answers are. And that's what I hope this does for you. I hope to answer questions that are either simple or complex. This has been hosted by the Paradise Business and Professional Lions and also by Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX. And you can listen to KKXX on 93.0 on the AM dial and 104.5 on the FM dial. There is going to be some free stuff, and I hope you will come by and say hello as we discuss the subject of personal preparedness and natural disasters. So we can look at the concerns and get an idea of what to do. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. We want to be strong enough to withstand the hardships that just might be coming, hardships that we don't know what they are. But we can explore what things might happen, and certainly I think one of the most basic things is water, food, and supplies, and warmth. And we can talk about that in more detail, or Yeah, perhaps you have a question. So, being prepared with Bible themes. You see, these are all Bible themes, too. The Bible talks about preparedness, and it talks about staying independent. So, that's why I feel so comfortable in talking about these things on Christ Today radio broadcast, because God wants us to be free and happy and healthy. Happy in Him. So have a look at what you see, and please come on by. We will be talking about natural disasters that could happen without warning and personal troubles that would happen without warning. There's some level of preparedness that everyone can do, and we have to discern what it is that is important for us to do. What lines up with our values? Is it things? Is it children and grandchildren? Is it our cell phone charger in hand? Is it our family photos? Somehow we all have to look at this and make the determinations. Get the list going, and that way you will have an idea where to start. A lot of people are concerned with medicines, so remember to have your personal prescriptions ready to go also. And do these things in advance, because when we do things in advance, we have the opportunity to re-examine what we have done and to know if we are satisfied with what we have done or not. Because emergencies, they do happen. And in the middle of an emergency is not the time to do your planning. You want to have a plan done well in advance and recognize that things will no longer be normal around you. Things will change in the chaos of an emergency, and you want to have some idea of what your position is in all that. So be equipped to make a plan and to carry it out. Remember to send me your questions about personal preparedness, and come for the talk and the prizes October 20th at 6 to 8. Oh, but come early. Come at 5:30 to the Paradise Performing Arts Center at 777 Nunley Road. It is an event sponsored by the Paradise Professional and Business and Professional Alliance and the Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX. Write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Or www.prepareforgod@usa.com. That's all lowercase. Listen again to the program at christtoday.org. That's all lowercase. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.